Four women from northern Wisconsin swam 23 miles from England to France. It was the culmination of years of training. It's Wednesday, August 28th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Mallory Chang. Coming up, there's new information in a 30-year-old murder case. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. stays on Wisconsin's presidential ballot. And from Wisconsin Life, a profile of a Wisconsin photographer whose subject is space. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Being up to date on the news matters to you. That's where Wisconsin Today comes in. These 10 minutes of the biggest stories from around the state, they're possible thanks to community support. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
After 3 years of training, four women from northern Wisconsin finished a relay swim across the English Channel this month. As Daniel Kading reports, the women swam from Dover, England to the shores of France in 11 hours and 21 minutes on August 17th.
That's the sound of Michelle DeYoung, Jen Titus, Pam Toshner, and Lisa Weisvenning cheering after their 23-mile swim. 58-year-old DeYoung says she remembers watching a movie about the first woman to swim across the English Channel when she was young.
I just thought, well, I can do that.
The four women trained in the icy waters of Lake Superior to prepare for temperatures around 60 degrees Fahrenheit in the channel. DeYoung says conditions were nearly perfect except for hundreds of jellyfish during the last leg.
The jellyfish was very hard, but we came through it and cheered each other along the way.
DeYoung says each woman traded off swimming an hour at a time until they reached the shores of France. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
3 decades after his body was found along a railroad in Pleasant Prairie, a John Doe murder victim finally has a name, Ronald Lewis Dodge. Dodge was born on the Menominee Reservation in 1952 and probably lived in Chicago at the time of his death in 1993. At a press conference yesterday, Menominee Tribal Vice Chairman Joey Awanape read a statement from Dodge's relatives.
It's been over 30 years of searching and wondering, worrying and praying about Ronnie and his well-being. It came to a point where hope seemed to be lost. His loved ones began to believe that we would never know what became of him.
The Kenosha County Medical Examiner revived the case in 2014. She identified Dodge with the help of genealogy work done by the DNA Doe Project. The Pleasant Prairie Police has reopened its investigation into Dodge's murder. Far-right efforts to recall Wisconsin's top legislative Republican have been met with yet another legal setback. Sarah Lear has this update.
This week, the Wisconsin Supreme Court refused to hear a case brought by the Racine Recall Committee. The committee's been trying to oust Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss after he refused to overturn Wisconsin's 2020 election results in Donald Trump's favor. Election commissioners twice rejected the committee's attempts to schedule a recall election against Voss after finding their petitions were short on valid signatures. The committee sued over the latest rejection, but a Dane County judge dismissed their case. Tuesday's Supreme Court decision leaves the matter with the state's Court of Appeals. Voss's current term ends in 2025. He faces a Democrat and an independent in November after his Republican challenger dropped out of the August primary. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will appear on Wisconsin ballots this November following a Wisconsin Elections Commission meeting yesterday. As Anya Van Wagten-Donk reports, that's despite Kennedy ending his campaign last week.
Kennedy dropped out last week and petitioned to be removed from swing state ballots. But Wisconsin state law says that a candidate who properly files nomination papers cannot decline to be on the ballot. The Wisconsin Elections Commission discussed that law at its meeting to finalize independent and third-party candidates. Democratic Commissioner Ann Jacobs said it's crystal clear when it comes to Kennedy's request to be removed.
The only way he gets to not be on the ballot is to up and die, which I'm assuming he has no plans of doing.
Green Party candidate Jill Stein is also on the ballot after a Democratic Party lawsuit was not heard. In total, Wisconsinites will choose from 8 presidential candidates this November. Anya Van Wagten-Donk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the break, a Madison photographer uses high-powered lenses to capture planets, stars, and other astral bodies. That's coming up right after this.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about exploring the depths of space.
Photographers tend to spend a lot of time with their subjects. For astrophotographer Rick Wayne of Madison, his subject for much of his life has been space. What started off as an interest in taking better pictures soon became something much greater, a sense of glory. And on one clear night, Alexandra Salmon joined Wayne to take photographs of the night sky.
Okay, so this here is a tracking mount. It's an equatorial mount. This was two checks from Grandma Lynn's worth of money, and maybe a little contribution from my wife, too.
That's Rick Wayne, software engineer by day, amateur astrophotographer by night. We're at the Yana Astronomical Research Station in Brooklyn, Wisconsin, surrounded by crickets, owls, and a clearing in the trees with a perfect opening to the starry night.
Not to snow you with tech talk, but this is an 8-inch Ritchie Chrétien astrograph, which is to say it's a reflector telescope.
So with the images that you produce, is that what is actually out in space, if we were to be space?
That is a terrific question. If you were out in space and looked at it, you would see nothing because these gases are a pretty good vacuum. But part of it is also because the camera is integrating. There are only a few photons hitting the sensor every second, and your eyes can only integrate about a quarter of a second at a time. So the camera can do it for, you know, hours if I tell it. Technical reasons, you wouldn't do that. Something like the Andromeda Galaxy, which is just in an image with lots of integration time, it bursts with color and it's just gobsmackingly gorgeous. In most telescopes, it looks like, oh yeah, there's some fuzzy stuff and a couple of stars there. And that's what most of these deep space objects look to the eye. And it would be pretty much the same if you were out there in space, even close up looking at them. This part, this can here, is a thermoelectrically cooled monochrome astro camera, which means that it's just taking in photons. It doesn't care what color they are.
Mm-hmm.
This in front of it is a filter wheel. And if you look, you can see one of the filters there.
The images are obviously, they're so beautiful. And I wonder if you ever feel like looking up at space does something for you that looking around here on Earth doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's stuff going on up there. You don't get a sense of the forces at play in the universe and the really deep history. You can't see that on Earth. The old Carl Sagan saying that we're all stardust. You know, every atom in our bodies that is higher up the periodic table than iron was built in a supernova explosion, or else in the Big Bang. That's the only place those atoms come from. And yet here we are, you know, we're tiny little insignificant specks of matter. And yet that's our whole world is built out of stuff that came out of supernova explosions.
That's wild.
It is. And looking up there, you know, you get thoughts like that when you do it.
Alexandra Salmon is an independent radio producer who lives in Madison. She brought us that story on astrophotographer Rick Wayne. And what you're hearing now? Sonifications of Hubble images converted into sound by NASA. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that's today's podcast for this Wednesday. Thank you for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Mallory Chang. Our producers today were Rob Menser and John Davis. We'll be back again tomorrow with the latest news about Wisconsin and the world. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day. Take care.